My name is Molly, and I'm a political science major at Kent State University. Kent State has these core values, kindness, respect, and purpose in all we do. Ever since I was old enough to understand the legal system, I've wanted to help serve justice, and I would like to be a prosecutor for the city of Cleveland and then hopefully move up to the county in the Justice Center downtown. Kindness and respect go a long way. As a prosecutor, you have to be kind to all parties of the courtroom to truly help everybody involved.
Vanguard is working hard to balance opportunity and risk for investors in this time of volatile yields. We know financial advisors are working hard to do the same. Visit vanguard.com/fixed income today. Important information. All investing is subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. Bond funds are subject to the risk that an issuer will fail to make payments on time and that bond prices will decline because of rising interest rates or negative perceptions of an issuer's ability to make payments. Vanguard Marketing Corporation, distributor.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the QB List Fantasy Football Podcast. I am Eric Smith, and this is the Week 10 Sit Start Podcast. I'm joined by Brian Hartman this week, filling in for Drew DeLuca. Drew's off doing some, you know, kind of high-level editor-in-chief duties at QB List. So he's a little tied up tonight, so I've got Brian here. Happy to have Brian on, though. He's been doing a great job on the podcast, the Waiver Wire What We Saw podcast that comes out every Monday night. He's also part of the What We Saw team, and he writes our tight end streaming article. So, Brian, I guess you needed an extra thing to add to your plate this week. So welcome to the Sit Start podcast. For the second straight week, you're just all over the place.
Hey, my bio says I've got more characters to fill, so might as well add to it, right? I'm happy to help.
Filling out that resume for sure. So, yeah, week 10, man, it's here. Like, we're in double digit weeks. We've only got about 5 weeks left in the fantasy regular season here, depending on your league type. So we're getting down to crunch time. So as always, we're going to take a little bit quicker of a view of the sit starts for the week, but please check out QBList.com. We will review every single fantasy relevant player. So if you've got a tough decision, please check out the website. That team does an awesome job. But we're going to stick with last week's format. When Drew and I were out, we're just going to go game by game here, try to focus on some of the borderline plays. But yeah, I think we're at the point of the season where we just need to talk about these games because none of these teams have healthy receivers. So let's get into this with some news and updates up top here. Good news. Let's start out with good news. Justin Jefferson opens his 21-day practice window. So not quite ready probably to talk about Justin Jefferson, whether we need to sit or start him, even though we're going to always start him. But Brian, what do you think about Jefferson now in a completely different situation he finds himself here in Minnesota?
Oh, it's a roller coaster of emotions. Weren't we just talking about shutting him down for the season as a rumor, like just a few weeks ago? But we're happy to see it. And Josh Dobbs, he shot some electricity into that team this past week. So I'm happy to see an extra weapon come out for him. And hey, this team's making a playoff push right now.
Yeah, and I think that's the important part is that Dobbs is going to have some ups and downs. You know, he tends to run more than Cousins is going to. We're probably not going to have the volume, but we at least know that, you know, the Vikings are trying and they have a competent quarterback and they're going for the playoffs. So I think that was the big fear with Jefferson is they're just kind of shut him down and tank or something after Cousins got hurt. And that's certainly not going to happen. So good news for Jefferson. Hopefully he will be back soon. Let's move on to Tennessee. Quarterback Will Levis is set to start again. Ryan Tannehill looks set to be the backup. Any big thoughts here? I mean, I feel like this is good. It gives a little bit of a jolt of, upside into this offense in Tennessee.
Yeah, the average depth of target that Levis has had in just the two games is dramatically higher than what Tannehill was working with. So I think just that alone gives us the upside of maybe we get a little bit of fantasy relevant players here outside of just Hopkins and Derrick Henry.
Yeah, maybe Treylon Burks can play for a couple weeks in a row and do something. I still have my fingers crossed for all my dynasty leagues, but it's not looking great. So.
Or that tight end Chig everybody was loving in the offseason. What happened to him, you know?
Yeah, might be the time to buy him low in dynasty leagues. I don't know. I don't think the talent went anywhere. Maybe they'll get this thing sorted out eventually. So, all right. On a downer note here, the Giants are going back to Tommy DeVito at quarterback. He's going to start. They don't have any good options. I think they just brought in Matt Barkley to add to the roster. Like, we've got a long way to go here, Brian. And DeVito's in quarterback now. Who knows? Is it next? But this is just not a good situation for anyone involved in New York.
Nope, not at all.
Not much else to say. Other depressing news, Carson Wentz has signed with the Rams. So I don't even know if there's much to say other than get back soon, Matt Stafford. We do have in Arizona, James Conner designated to return from IR, though, for Arizona. So I think that's probably more fantasy relevant, Brian. So if you have stashed James Conner, your wait is coming to an end. And he actually has a quarterback now to play with.
I know. Is this team going to actually be fun coming into these? I mean, not that it wasn't fun with Josh Dobbs, but oh my gosh, terrible defense, great offensive pieces. I think we might have a great fantasy playoffs here with Kyler and company.
Yeah, and I talked about it with Drew on the last podcast I was on, I believe. Like, I'm curious to see Kyler Murray in a non-Cliff Kingsbury offense. Like, maybe he was dragging Kyler down a little bit. I mean, it is going to take some time for Kyler to get healthy and run around like he used to. But I don't know. I'm kind of hoping there's some upside down the stretch here, and we can see Kyler Murray get back to that fantasy upside we saw a few years ago.
I mean, Cliff Kingsbury did keep Patrick Mahomes out of the Heisman race, so who knows? Maybe he just does cap a little bit of ceiling.
Yeah, we didn't think a whole lot of Gannon at first, but maybe compared to Kingsbury, he's just fine. So, okay. Aaron Rodgers is joking about returning in a few weeks on Monday Night Football. Are you going to go and pick him up, Brian?
No, there's no way. Unless there's some kind of lie and he didn't actually rupture his Achilles, which I'm pretty sure we all actually saw it happen. He's not coming back in a few weeks. And I'm pretty sure he did correct that statement today saying that, you know, it was a joke. It's, you know, he's not actually coming back yet.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, he's up there in age, coming off an Achilles. I would not have high hopes, even if he did trot himself out there. So I think it's going to be a lot more Zach Wilson going forward. And then for the Bears, Justin Fields not quite ready to return, unfortunately. But, I mean, it's at least good that there was a chance this week. So looks like we may have Justin Fields back on the field here pretty soon for the Chicago Bears.
Which, you know, it's definitely exciting. We had quite the rapport going with him and DJ Moore those last couple of weeks before he got hurt. So I think we're excited for a quarterback to come back after what we're talking about. Danny DeVito. Talking about Tommy DeVito here. That's not fun for anybody.
Right. All right. Let's get into the team by team matchups here. Like I said, we may skim over some obvious starts. So if we didn't talk about a good player, it probably just means that you should start them and not worry about them. So let's start out on Thursday Night Football here. Carolina Panthers and Chicago Bears. Bears are actually favored by 4, over under of 39. That's kind of surprising. So where does your mind go, first of all, when you look at this Panthers-Bears matchup?
Oh, I want that baseball swinging Cole Kmet at tight end. I think he has been a great tight end play. I mean, I know tight end streaming article, I'm going to hit the tight end first, but I think it's one of the best pieces you're seeing here, one of the more obvious ones, because I'm not in love with any of the running backs. Chuba Hubbard may be performing at one of the best ones in the Carolina's backfield, but you're still not confident about that. We've got a carousel of running backs over in Chicago. Herbert could be back this week. So really, like, outside of Thielen, DJ Moore, and Cole Kmet, I don't know if I want anything out of this matchup.
Yeah, I mean, another week of Bajent. DJ Moore's numbers have really been down with him. He's about 50 yards a week when Bajent's in there. So, I mean, I think he's still a wide receiver too. But you look at that Bears backfield, I kind of, if I had to start someone, I would tend towards Foreman just because we have seen him at least get the volume. I know he's not as nearly as talented as Khalil Herbert is, but Foreman has seen some volume recently. And we'll see how much work Herbert gets if he does return. Roshan Johnson's kind of been phased out here a bit. So I don't know. I think maybe you're a little bit higher on Herbert. Is that just kind of the upside there? Or do you think he's going to come back and get a serious workload here?
I'm thinking he should plug right back into where he was. I know Foreman's been as good as he has been these last few weeks, but he was inactive for those games prior to Herbert getting hurt. You know, like he presents no upside in special teams or pass catching ability. So, you know, they're not rolling him out there. So if they don't need a bruiser because they have Herbert, it just makes me a little nervous that he might, who knows, he might not even be out there. But it's Thursday. Yeah. We still haven't got a full report from Herbert. So we might be 1 week away from that.
Yep. Sadly, I think this backfield is going to be a mess. So we'll see how it sorts itself out down the stretch. But another backfield that's kind of a mess here is the Panthers backfield. It seems like Chuba Hubbard has taken over this backfield. I mean, last week he saw 46 snaps to Miles Sanders, 18. Like, I know Sanders has been coming back from injury, so maybe that normalizes here a bit as we go. But I do think Hubbard is in the RB2 range just because of this matchup. The Bears are a really nice running back matchup. Actually, both of these teams are good matchups for running backs. So I do think you can start Chuba Hubbard as a volume play here in a nice matchup, but not super excited about his talent, and stock is definitely down on Miles Sanders.
Yeah, I like to play overall as Hubbard over the between the two backs, but as many points as the Bears have given up on the season, it makes me a little nervous. Over the last 3 weeks, they're eighth against the running back position on defense, only allowing 15 points per game to the running back position. So they've been a little stingy ever since the Bajent came out there and kind of shut down Josh Jacobs in that first game. So I would be a little hesitant. I'm not seeing as much upside going against this Bears defense.
Yep. Okay, let's move on from that one. Just kind of a gross situation all around.
Yeah.
Start Adam Thielen. You can stick with him. So, all right, next up is the Indianapolis Colts against the New England Patriots. This is an early morning game. Brian, where is this one in Germany again? Where is this one at?
Guten Tag. We are back in Germany. Okay. Of
course. Awesome. I can't keep track of all these Europe games. So I know when I see 9:30, though, it's definitely not here. So 9:30 in the morning on Sunday. Colts are actually favored by 1.5, 43.5 over under. You are the resident Colts expert, I believe. So why don't you kick us off on this one?
Well, unfortunately, we aren't watching the amazing Anthony Richardson out there right now. Yeah. He's recovering from that shoulder. But Minshew has been doing a good job. Kind of that Jameis Winston-esque game style of plays, going out there, throwing the ball, scoring some touchdowns. But he's doing a good enough job in the turnovers that he's keeping points up on both sides. The Colts have been hitting the over in all but, I think, two games this season. So I'm really hoping we smash this 43.5 and see touchdowns on both sides. I think JT and Stevenson, I think Stevenson's got a great chance of being an RB1 this week. Colts have not been great against the run game, and I think just the dump-off passes that he's been pulling in, I think we've got running backs on either side that you're excited to start.
Yeah, and the Patriots defense has not quite been what it used to be. It's still a solid defense, but it's not quite the stay away matchup that we once saw. So, yeah, I mean, JT really took over the backfield last week. So I'm not sure that we could even start Zach Moss if you were desperate, right? Like he's just really been phased to the side. I think we probably need JT to get dinged up if you're going to try to sneak Moss back in there.
100%. Yeah. I'm excited for Pittman this week. Josh Downs is dealing with a bit of a knee injury. So if he's limited in snaps, doesn't play, then Pittman's going to see a huge uptick. But that's really all I'm confident in starting over there. Rookie DeMario Douglas has looked good for New England, but do any of those pass catchers over there excite you?
No, they definitely do not. Parker, we'll see. I believe he's working his way back from a concussion. Not that he would excite me anyway, but he would just be another player to get in the way of Douglas. So no, not looking forward to starting any of them. I suppose if you're desperate in a deep league, you can start Hunter Henry at tight end. But yeah, it's kind of a mess. I would say like Mac Jones, The Colts have given up some points this year. If you're in a super flex league, I think you could probably sneak him in as a QB2. We know his ceiling is not high, but you could put him in there, get your 15 points out of him and be relatively happy. But yeah, I think it's pretty much Ramondre Stevenson or bust for the Patriots. So how do you feel about this game? What's your confidence level on the Colts?
Oh, confidence that they're going to hit the over is about all the confidence I have in them. Win, who knows? As a fan, I'm rooting for the loss, but it's the Patriots, and I have nothing positive to say about this franchise as a whole. Purely biased. I totally get it here, folks. This is just a game that I'm very torn on. But I'll be up there early watching that one.
Yeah. Well, I think the Colts running game is probably the best offensive unit in this whole matchup. So I don't know. I think the Colts can take them, but we'll see. And they are favored, so I guess that checks out. All right, let's get to a defensive battle here, at least what we would assume. That's the Cleveland Browns at Baltimore. Baltimore is favored by 6, just a 37.5 point spread. So this is kind of a tough one, Brian, because there are a lot of players we want to play in this matchup, potentially explosive offenses, but these defenses are no joke. So what do you think about let's start with the Browns here. What do you think about the Browns going up against the Ravens?
I'm not confident really to start anybody on the Brown side. Watson in one QB leagues, I think you should sit him. I'm not excited going against this Baltimore Ravens defense. I'm pretty sure they're getting two starters back this week as well. Marcus Williams, I believe, is coming back. Ford, I think he's going to be a volume play. So, you know, obviously you're going to have to start him if you got him, but temper expectations with that. And then Cooper, there's a good chance that he just gets shut down in this game. So Elijah Moore might see the volume, but he has not produced, I believe, inside the top 48 but one time this season. So it's pretty ugly on the Browns, unless you're playing the defense. I'm sure they're going to come away with some points.
For sure. I do think that Deshaun Watson is starting to show some flashes here. It's not all the way back for sure. And he played Arizona last week. That's a pretty weak defense. I mean, I saw my Bengals just completely shred them earlier in the year. So take it with a grain of salt. But I did at least see some downfield passing from Watson. And you'd have to think that we get some competence back here. So, yeah, Baltimore is a tough matchup. But I do think there's some hope here for this offense going forward. If it's not this week, I think Cooper can be a nice player down the stretch. Ford saw a lot of work. Jerome Ford, 47 snaps to Kareem Hunt's 21 last week. So I agree with you. I think he's a solid volume play. And then I would just say keep an eye out on Cedric Tillman. Did not produce at all last week, the rookie wide receiver, big talented player. But he ran the second most routes or third most routes in the receiving corps, second most snaps. So he was out there a ton last week. All of a sudden, the usage wasn't there. But I do think in some real deep leagues, keep an eye on Cedric Tillman, because if Watson locks onto him and this offense picks it up a little bit, he could be interesting. So I don't know. Other than that, I'd say start David Njoku if you got him. He's kind of borderline tight end one. But I don't know. I think there are better days ahead. It's just a really, really tough matchup this week.
100% agree. Yeah, I'm excited to see what they can do these next few weeks with a healthy Watson. But this week, I'm nervous. This isn't a fun matchup across the board. Just so many great pieces. We've got Gus Edwards, who's been 6 touchdowns in the last 3 weeks. So obviously, we're not going to bench the guy. But playing against this Browns defense, you are hoping he trips into the end zone in this one.
Yeah, I might be a little higher on Gus this week. I don't know. There's a lot of reaction to Keaton Mitchell and the week he had, and I'm just not quite ready to buy into that. It was such a blowout last week for the Ravens that I think they rested Gus Edwards a bit. So, yeah, I like Gus's potential to fall into the end zone. I mean, that's, like you said, that's what we're playing for here. So I see Gus as an RB2. I'm starting Lamar. I don't care what defense he's playing. Otherwise, though, I think it's a bunch of dice rolls here. It's Justice Hill played a ton last week, but I don't think you can trust him. I wouldn't trust Mitchell necessarily, although I do think there's upside. And even Zay Flowers, like, he's kind of been up and down lately, hasn't quite hit those peaks that we were hoping for. So I'm not opposed to playing Zay Flowers. He's got a ton of talent. But I do think it's a bit of a risk here against this awesome Browns defense. I mean, they're pretty much, no matter which way you look at the Browns, they're good. I mean, they're the second worst matchup for fantasy wide receivers. So it's a tough defense. I do trust Lamar in this offense because they are cruising right now.
100%.
And then start Mark Andrews. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Up next, I think we're going to have a lot more starters in this game. That's going to be the Houston Texans traveling to play the Cincinnati Bengals. Bengals are favored by 7 with an over-under of 48. So we should have a bunch of fireworks in this one. And I think I agree with how Vegas projects this one. So let's start out with the Texans. Like, I mean, Stroud has been awesome. I'm very excited with how good CJ Stroud has looked. We need all the good quarterbacks we can get in this league. So it's kind of getting to the point where I don't know. Like, you can talk yourself into a lot of weapons on this Texans offense because he's kind of lifting everyone up around him.
I think so. Yeah, I think this week especially, where, you know, Vegas predicts it being one of the higher scoring games, I think we're going to see touchdowns again. I think you should feel comfortable starting Collins. I think Schultz is in the mix. And, you know, Tank Dell is still a flexible wide receiver. The running backs, it is ugly out there between Pierce and Singletary. It's going back and forth. I understand running backs thin right now with bye weeks. People are going to have to plug in some of these guys, but Singletary is the only one I feel comfortable plugging in there. Is Pierce injured? I guess I didn't see his practice report this week, but yeah, Stroud, I think a low-end QB1 this week is a fair bet.
Yeah, Pierce missed week 9 with an ankle injury and didn't practice Wednesday, so it's not going well so far. So I guess when looking at Stroud, I saw you kind of had him penciled in as a QB1, and I was about to do a little pushback. I was like, oh, you know, it's still early, good Bengals defense on the road. I'm probably going to put him QB2, and then I kind of looked up the quarterback landscape, and no, CJ Stroud is clearly a QB1 this week. Like, he's Drew has him ranked QB7, and that seems about right to me. It's tough out there. So, yeah, Stroud's an awesome play this week, and the Bengals' MO lately has been to get up early. Score like the touchdown the first 2 drives, and the other team just has to sling it. So I would expect a lot of passing attempts for Stroud, and I'm really excited about Tank Dell. It might be because I have him in my home league, but he's looked awesome. I think him and Collins are both good plays. I kind of like Tank Dell better long term. We'll see if he replicates last week, but I'm excited about both Tank Dell and Nico Collins this week as well, even though the Bengals secondary has been playing pretty well.
Yeah, I think actually my favorite piece over here on the Bengals side is going to be Mixon. The Houston Texans have been giving so much up to the running back that it's actually been hurting the quarterback and the wide receiver because of that. Speaking of hurt, we've got Ja'Marr Chase and Higgins both on the injury report. Ja'Marr Chase dealing with a back injury, Higgins with the hamstring injury. So I think Tyler Boyd's going to be a great play this week, even if both of them play, because they're not necessarily 100%. But if one of these guys miss, Boyd's going to be, you know, started in most leagues. But Mixon, I'm really excited for him. I think that he's going to be the highest scorer on this Bengals team this week.
Yeah, he's shown some flashes. The production hasn't been there overall, but he has looked fresh a few times recently over the past few games, and this would be a matchup where they could maybe get that going. So I would say about the Bengals wide receiver injuries, like Ja'Marr Chase fell really hard. He's really sore, back injury. I'm not sure if it's a true injury or if he's just banged up. I would expect if Jamar's out there, he's good to go. I think if anything, they'll be cautious with him. So if they do decide to play Ja'Marr, I think it's all systems go. Higgins was just limited on Wednesday, so we'll see what that means. But yeah, I agree. Boyd's going to be in a good spot. Trent and Irwin, I think, would get the most play after those 3 receivers. So if like Ja'Marr and Higgins were both out or something, like Burrow does trust Trent and Irwin, even though he's not a household name. So I think he could be a dice roll in some deep leagues, but you would need at least one of those receivers out ahead of him. And I'm not starting Irv Smith, even though he caught a touchdown last week. I'm still not there. So they've got a bit of a committee going on at tight end. So stay away from the Bengals tight ends right now.
Yeah, hard pass there. I will throw out, too, Mixon had his 5 touchdown game in week 9 last year. And I know this is week 10, but he's already had his bye week. So this will be his 9th week played, so I don't know. Might throw a bet on it, a 3 touchdown game. I don't know.
Yeah, that makes sense. This could be a very big Mixon game, and they have nobody behind him. So even if they get up big, he's going to see the ball. So totally, I love that. Let's get some money on some Mixon touchdowns here. So, all right, next up, this is a fun game: San Francisco 49ers at Jacksonville Jaguars. Over under of 46. San Francisco favored by 3. I don't know. I think the Niners are pretty clear here, right? Right, Brian? We know who to start on San Francisco.
Yeah, it seems like Debo's back and healthy. So Debo, Ayuk, CMC, Kittle, Purdy. Yeah, I don't think there's really much hesitancy here.
Yeah, I think I would jump right in on Debo as long as he's off the injury report and healthy. Get him back in your lineups. He's too explosive. So, and they've lost a few in a row, so they need to get things moving here and win some games. So, on to Jacksonville though. I think there's some more interesting decisions. What do you think about this Jaguars receiving core? It's a tough matchup against the Niners, although this defense hasn't looked quite the same lately. But how do you feel about Calvin Ridley, Christian Kirk? Zay Jones is trying to work his way back. I'm not sure if he's going to be healthy or not this week, but mainly Ridley and Kirk. How are you feeling about them in this matchup?
Kirk's volume has been there, so I feel like he's you know, a good start, a fair play. It's Calvin Ridley. Like, what do you do there? The draft capital, what you spend on him, I know at this point of the season, you know, can't mean everything, but he's out there. He's got the household name. I don't know. I'm finding him barely making my flex spot in most of my lineups right now.
It's tough. I mean, I'm a huge believer in Ridley, and he just seeing the 1 week of it to start out really kind of sucked me in for the whole year. So I tend to keep rolling him out there. We will see. I mean, San Francisco right now is a top five matchup for wide receivers in fantasy football. Like, I think it's going to change. They just added some pass rush depth as well. Like, I don't expect this to happen all year, but they have been beatable. So I'm probably going to be a sucker and keep rolling Calvin Ridley out there. I totally get it if people want to bail. But I mean, we saw a 10 target game last time out. So we've got some hope here. Just because, you know, 2 points before that, that's not going to cut it. But I do think we're going to see better play out of Ridley down the stretch here.
Well, let's play a quick little game then. We've got Calvin Ridley in one hand. You playing him, or are we flashing back to a previous game at Amari Cooper? Which one are you playing?
I'm going to stick with Calvin Ridley. I mean, Cooper's been pretty good. Maybe that's too high. I trust that game's going to be more of a shootout than Baltimore-Cleveland. That worries me. And I'm still, even though I just spent 5 minutes talking up Deshaun Watson, he's starting to look better. I'll still take Trevor Lawrence. So I know Lawrence just feels like he's making the progressions and throwing to the right player. And some weeks it's just not Ridley. But I'd be afraid to miss that boom week. And we have seen a couple boom weeks from Ridley. So I don't know. Like I said, I'm a sucker. I'm going to keep rolling him out there. I don't know. Are you leaning Cooper?
Ooh, that one's hard. I actually think I'm going to go Ridley just because I like the matchup between the two. I think Trevor Lawrence is in the same boat as Deshaun Watson. Maybe not quite. He's playing way better than Watson, but I think better days are ahead, and I think better days are starting with week 11, not week 10, because both of them have hard matchups this week. But I think I'm going to take Ridley in those two.
Okay. Sounds like keep rolling out Evan Ingram. He doesn't score touchdowns, but he's good to go. He'll get you yards
consistent.
At least.
Consistent.
Yeah, that's all you can hope for at tight end these days. So
who'd have thunk it? Evan Ingram, all the trash he got talked about, you know, the first few years, can't catch a ball. Mr. Consistent here in 2023. I love it.
It's one of the few things you can trust in this year is Evan Ingram every week. Wild stuff. So, all right, let's get on to the New Orleans Saints at Minnesota Vikings. Over under 41, spread 2.5 in favor of the Vikings. All right, I'm sorry, the Saints. Saints are favored. So this is a Josh Dobbs game. Let's see if we can keep this on a roll. Who do you want to talk about in this matchup?
Who don't you want to talk about in this one? I feel like we've got some pretty good pieces here coming off, you know, some lower scoring games. I think Jordan Addison, you're still going to roll him out there. He, especially now that, you know, we still have Justin Jefferson out of there. He is the number one receiving or wide receiver target right now. I think Josh Dobbs can spread it around between Hawkinson and Addison just fine. And Madison, now with Akers out with the second Achilles injury, he's got the backfield to himself. Ty Chandler was picking up a little bit before Akers got traded for, so, you know, keep an eye on him in deeper leagues, maybe possibly as, you know, that handcuff there if Madison happens because he is a speedier guy, but it's not too bad on the Viking side.
Yeah, I guess Madison's the big question. I mean, even before Akers started to play more, he wasn't producing a whole lot. But he was getting the volume. You were getting 10 points out of him. Like, he's an RB2, right? I mean, even tough matchup against the Saints, like, yeah, running back's tough. You got to roll him out there. So it's not going to be pretty with him, but I think we can volume our way to a decent RB2 game here.
I think so, too.
Yeah. Otherwise, I guess we have to buy into Taysom Hill as a tight end one. Like, there's no fighting it, right? Like, you just play him until he gives you a dud.
I'm here for it. Like, we got, 4 weeks now straight? I'm loving it. And
it
he
defies
threw one
all logic.
To, right? And he threw a touchdown to Juwan Johnson. So, like, both tight ends right now look fantasy viable, which is gross. Olave caught a touchdown, so they're not taking away too much from him. But we've got some decent pieces out here. Would you start Dobbs or Carr over?
Dobbs or Carr? I would. Oh man, man, you get that rushing upside with Dobbs. I think I would go with. I would go with Carr. What makes me not want to pick Carr is that Taysom Hill ends up stealing goal line work, but Carr has turned it on since his injury. He does look healthier. He's got good weapons. I mean, Olave, Michael Thomas, Rashid Shaheed going deep. Like, Carr's been pretty solid. I would probably go with him, but if you're looking for, like, the home run, maybe Dobbs gets loose and rushes one for 50, but I think Carr's got a better floor here. So give me Derek Carr. That Minnesota defense, they're just going to send the house. I don't know if that's a good thing or not against Derek Carr, but it should be interesting. I think he'll put it in the air a lot in this one.
Yeah, I like those two. I like both of them as options with Patrick Mahomes, Jalen Hurts, and Tua out this week with bye weeks. You know, we're going to be looking to pick up some quarterbacks, and I think you could do a lot worse than those two.
Yep, I picked up Carr in a league myself, and I'm starting him. So, yep, right there with you. All right, let's get on to the Green Bay Packers and the Pittsburgh Steelers. In Pittsburgh, over under 39. Steelers favored by 3.5. This looks like an ugly one to me. Let's start out on Green Bay. How confident are we in Aaron Jones right now?
Not at all. I don't like a single piece. I like the days of week one and week two when Jordan Love was lighting it up, throwing touchdowns all over the place. Now it's just sad. It looks like cheese that you found in the back of the fridge, but the fridge died. It's just, you know, like, these aren't the happy-go-lucky cheeseheads anymore. It's just gross over there.
Yeah, it's tough. Jones did have a bounce back last week, but it was against the Rams. It's a little bit of a different situation here playing in Pittsburgh. And Jones also 20 carries, 73 yards. I got you a touchdown, so that worked out. But I think you can still play him as an RB2. I guess he's got RB1 upside, but we just have not seen much out of this offense, and it's hard to be too confident in him. So I keep rolling him out there, but yeah. Otherwise, at receiver, like, Watson just has to stay healthy. I think there's some upside there, but any thoughts on these pass catchers? Is, like, anything you can count on right now?
Nothing you can count on. If you're in that position where you have to put Watson out there, I get it, but I'm not feeling comfortable in it. I know there's been leagues that I've seen him being dropped. You know, it's, like, shocking to see, but this offense just inspires no – there's just no points. We're just not seeing anything move. And until Love really steps it up, I just don't trust Watson in my starting lineup.
Yeah, I mean, Steelers are another good matchup for wide receivers so far. They're probably one of the five best matchups, so it's not a bad spot. He's going to hit a home run one of these weeks, but yeah, it's hard to trust. He's in and out of the lineup, in and out of games. It's just, it's a tough life to live for starting Christian Watson right now. So, yeah, otherwise, Musgrave, he's shown some flashes. If you're a deep league, you could do worse than him. But let's get to the Steelers side of things. Deontay Johnson has kind of come back and gone back to his old target heavy ways, and now we have a George Pickens problem. So what do you think about starting George Pickens if you need him this week?
Ooh, if I was stuck between Pickens and Watson, I don't know who I'd pick, if we're being honest. Probably Watson, just on the upside of the number one. But yeah, Deontay Johnson has firmly planted himself back as the number one, heavy on the targets, and he's catching them. Pickens just, man, it is an interesting situation. How can we just can't have drama without the Pittsburgh wide receiver room being a part of it? It's wild how that happens.
Yeah, negative 1 yards receiving for Pickens last week on two catches. I had 22 yards on one catch the week before. So yeah, it's gone downhill pretty quick here. I wonder if the kind of squeaky wheel thing holds here, where he did some complaining this last week. Maybe he'll get the ball. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think Watson's got the better matchup here on paper. So I'd probably go for him for the upside. But, I mean, we know that George Pickens can make a big play too. So I think we go matchup here, tiebreaker, go with Watson as long as he's healthy on, you know, check the injury reports. But they're both kind of right in that same range. I mean, Drew has Christian Watson, wide receiver 35. He has Pickens, wide receiver 38. So same ballpark. Go with your gut there. But I might say Watson, just because, like you said, Pickens is not the number one on this team right now, and at least Watson has a chance of that. So I don't know. Otherwise, I don't think there's much to talk about on the Steelers offense. Do we have to talk about the Steelers offense anymore, Brian?
I don't want to. I'd like to move on.
All right, let's do it. Okay, next up is Tennessee Titans at Tampa Bay Buccaneers, over under 38. Tampa Bay favored by 1. I guess that makes sense. let's get on to the Will Levis-led Titans. I guess we can feel better about DeAndre Hopkins going forward, I think. Like, at least we have some hope for upside. But otherwise, it's just him and Henry, right?
Yeah, this is going to be interesting because neither one of these quarterbacks, I guess Levis is still, these aren't great quarterbacks right now. Levis is still a rookie, so he's still developing, and Baker is who Baker is. But both of these defenses are bottom six in the wide against the wide receiver position, with Tampa Bay being 31st. So something's got to give. We could see three-ish touchdowns coming from both of these quarterbacks this week, even though the over-under is at 38. These are, you know, pretty good defenses. But I think we can see, you know, Mike Evans bust a big one loose. I think Hopkins should, you know, go out there and catch a pretty deep pass. So I'm excited about that. My big question is Derrick Henry against the Tampa Bay running defense. You know, they're still been pretty good. They're number two right now against the running back position, allowing only 13 points a game. So between him and Tajay Spears, like, that's not a lot of points to go around.
Yeah, and I mean, Henry's getting outsnapped by Spears, especially in games where they're trailing. Like, it's wild to see, but you can't even count on that, like, you know, 80% workload we used to see. So I think you just have to throw Henry out there because of the blowups. I mean, we know that the hits are always right around the corner, and he has been producing despite the workload. I mean, he's been reeling off 18-point games, you know, like he's still a contributor, but it does feel like it's ready for a dud to happen here if they fall behind and they go to a lot of Spears, and this could be a matchup, but you got to stick with them. But the snap share is definitely painting a different picture than just looking at the box score does. So in my home league, I've been stashing Spears for weeks. Hasn't amounted to much yet. We'll see, but he's definitely seeing the field. But Henry's outproducing him still for sure. All right. Well, yeah, I don't know. I think we're starting Rashad White. We're starting the good wide receivers for Tampa Bay. Cade Otton, he's on the field a lot. He scores a touchdown occasionally. I guess in a real deep league, you can play Cade Otton. But I don't know. I think we can move on from this one.
I think so, too.
All right. Let's get on to the Atlanta Falcons at Arizona Cardinals, over under 42.5. Falcons favored by 1.5. I mean, we just have to talk about Arthur Smith, right? Like, what do we even talk about when we discuss the Falcons?
Well, it doesn't help. We've got two teams right now. I'm just seeing red, not even trying to get mad about it. I mean, look at these colors. Like, oh, it's not good. I think Bijan, he's an RB1 this week. He 100% is. But that could change. That could change it any second. Have you seen the comments that he's made recently that Bijan's doing really good off the ball?
Off the ball, yeah.
What does that mean? I mean, I get what it means, but no. Shush. Give the guy the ball. I don't know. We're starting him, but we're not happy about it. Or something. Yeah.
Arthur Smith talks like this is a juggernaut offense. I mean, they are a good offense, but he talks like questioning him is just shocking. Like, how dare you question, you know, Andy Reid or something here? You know what I mean? It's like, you haven't quite proven it here, Arthur Smith. Like, Bijan did have 42 snaps last week. Tyler Allgeier, 24. Cordell Patterson, 9. It's not even so much the snaps for Bijan. It's just how they're using him. Like, 3 targets, get him the ball more in space. Like, just find some more creative ways to get him the ball, not use him as a decoy. So, yeah, you're rolling Bijan out there. You just got to hope that the coach turns it around. And if you're tired of dealing with it, I would look to trade him because I'm not sure it's going to change anytime soon. So I wonder if Tyler Allgeier, if you're in a, you know, if your roster's in a tough spot, I think you could probably roll him out there as an RB2, right? I mean, this still is a decent enough running game against a bad opponent. Like, I think you could maybe get something out of Tyler Allgeier here.
Definitely a decent chance of that with the Cardinals as bad as they are against the running backs. I think that two of the three of these players will end up with decent points from the running back room. But would it be great if Bijan got it all? Like, he should. It's nice to see.
It would be wonderful.
It's nice seeing Drake London should be back this week. He's got a groin injury he's been dealing with, so hopefully we see him out there. But Pitts and Smith, I love how deep Heineke's throwing the ball. He's not completing any more passes, so yes, granted, it looks just as bad as Ridder, but I think it's the type of attempts that he's giving us. You know, he's shooting the ball downfield, and that's where Kyle Pitts has excelled. He should still be number one in air yards, I believe, in the tight end position. So if, you know, we see the regression come back where it should, a couple of those balls should start coming down. So I'm excited for both these tight ends going forward.
Yeah, I mean, they're both splitting snaps. They're both producing enough where I don't think they're going to give you a goose egg. And yeah, that's a good call on Pitts. I mean, that was kind of my write-up on him before the year doing tight end rankings was he is being used downfield. And until they change that, he's going to be a boom-bust option. A lot of bust, but not so much boom, but it's going to happen one of these weeks. So yeah, if Heineke's willing to let it rip, he's going to come down with one eventually. So I think that's a good call there. I still think there is upside, even though we've been waiting several years on that. So yeah, let's get on to the Arizona side of things. DeMarcado did not practice. James Conner, maybe he practiced. Maybe he'll come back this week. I'm not sure. Like, I think Keontae Ingram could be a volume play, kind of dice roll here if Conner doesn't play. But I don't know. What do you think between Ingram and Conner? Like, say Conner comes back. Are you just plugging Conner right back into your lineup?
I'm looking for as many options as I can to not play either one of those. I'd actually probably feel more comfortable playing Michael Wilson if he's ready this week than any of those options. If Connor's back, he should be good, but Atlanta Falcons have been so stingy against the running back position, only giving up 14.7 points a game. So with Connor coming back, you know, if Ingram's getting in the mix of that, if DeMarcado's, you know, possibly back in there, I don't know. I think I'd love to find another option outside of, you know, one of these running backs this week.
Yeah, Drew's got James Conner, RB27, right around like Jalen Warren and Gus Edwards. That feels about the right range. Obviously, that could change depending on health. The reviews have been pretty good out of Conner. Sounds like he's healthy and ready to roll, and we know that they'll give him a ton of work if he is healthy. So I think there's some upside there, but it's always tough playing these guys right off injury. So beware if you are thinking about playing them, just keep an eye out on the coaching, the coach speak, the injury reports, all that good stuff. So otherwise, like, hey, at least we got a boost here for the passing game with Kyler back, we think. Hollywood Brown's been fine without him, so I would expect that he's still going to be a worthwhile start. But what do you think about Kyler? Are you anxious to get him in your lineup this first week back, or are you trying to take a wait-and-see approach if you can?
Ooh. 3-4 weeks ago, I told myself, calm down. We're going to wait a week. We're going to, you know, let him wait around there in that small little pool because, you know, obviously it can't be a deep pool. He's not a big guy. But, you know, let him splash around, wait around. And then all of a sudden, I'm just like, no, why would I do that? Why am I going to watch him score points on my bench when Kyler is averaging, I think, the sixth most points per game at a quarterback's career? Like, it's just unreal what he can do. Yeah, I know he's coming off the ACL injury. A lot of the stats say that quarterbacks run a lot less the first year after an ACL tear. Well, if you look at those quarterbacks that had the ACL tear, most of them weren't running. I think Deshaun Watson was the only actual mobile quarterback of those guys that have done it. So I don't really think you can take too much away from that stat. I'm excited for him. He's great. He's electric out there on the field. He's the franchise guy. They wouldn't be putting him out there if he wasn't ready, you know?
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. And I mean, when you just look down the rankings, it's I'm tempted gross to say not play him this week. But I mean, Drew's got Baker Mayfield as a QB12 this week. You know what I mean? Like Sam Howell's QB10. We're not talking about a high bar here to sneak into the top 12. So, yeah, I if you're struggling a quarterback, I'd roll with Kyler Murray. There's upside there. Maybe it doesn't happen week one. But it's a worthwhile risk. And I don't think this is the toughest matchup in the world. I mean, Atlanta's got a much improved defense this year. I'll give them credit, but I'm not sure that this is a lockdown unit. And they've given up points to quarterbacks. So, yeah, I would play Kyler if you need to. You know, don't get crazy and bench anyone top half of QB1 range for him. But I would definitely take my chances over, you know, Baker Mayfield. That's where I'm at.
I love it.
I almost said Sam Howell. I was like, I don't know. Sam Howell's been chucking it. Maybe I would play Sam Howell over him. I keep waiting for it to fall apart, but he's been airing the ball out. So who are you going with, Kyler or Sam Howell?
Ooh,
Sam Howell is against Seattle. If you need a reminder.
Yeah, that one, we got a 45 point over under. I know the one time I'm going to go all in on Howell, he's going to get benched for Brissett. I just know it. I feel it deep in my bones. So it's hard for me to go all in on Howell, but I think I'm going to take Kyler. I think I'll take Kyler. It'll be a close one. And if you're looking at a close matchup, I take Howell just as a safe bet. But maybe you're an underdog sitting in a situation, I take Kyler. I think the upside for a 30-plus game is going to be higher on Kyler than you would Sam Howell.
I think that's fair. But yeah, Howell does have the better floor, I think. He's throwing the ball 45 times a game, if not more. So, you know, the volume's going to be there. I could see them take it easy with Kyler. So I think that's about the range we're talking about. Kind of Sam Howell, Geno Smith, Baker Mayfield range. That's when you start considering Kyler, I would say. And hopefully he gets higher than that going forward. So, all right. This will be a fun one here. Detroit Lions at Los Angeles Chargers, 48.5 over under, 2.5 points. The Lions are favored. I guess we got to talk about Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery. David Montgomery looks like he is set to return. Looks like I think he's getting full practices in, so I'm not sure there's going to be much easing back in here for David Montgomery. So what's your expectation for this Lions backfield? Are you you think Gibbs is going to hold him off after his performance last week, or is Montgomery just going to crush everyone's dreams?
I don't think Gibbs is going to pull back too much. You know, there's going to be, obviously, I don't think he's going to have as many carries as he's been looking at, but I still think his workload's going to be up there. Montgomery, the coach, the way they talk about him, he's going to be involved. He's going to get his piece, but I think Gibbs is electric enough, much like we saw with the Saints backfield for the backhand of Breeze's career. You know, we could see the bruiser of Mark Ingram go out there and go get points, go get touchdowns, but then you've got the electric Kamara out there still elusive enough to score what he needs. So I'm confident putting both these guys out there as running back twos with upside to RB1 if Montgomery gets heavy in the touchdowns or Gibbs just breaks off one.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they're both borderline must plays. This is just too good of an offense, too good of an offensive line. We'll see how it shakes out, but I'd get them both in the lineup. I like playing people against the Chargers. Their run defense isn't quite as bad as it's been in years past, but I mean, they're still 22nd giving up points to fantasy running backs. So they're giving up 20 points a game. Like they're still a beatable matchup here. So this could be a shootout. Get both of them in your lineups. I'm not holding back one bit on either of those running backs. And like I said, we'll sort it out long-term. We'll see what Gibbs' ceiling is, but for this week, definitely get them in your lineup. On the Chargers side, I guess the only question would be any complimentary pass catchers behind Keenan Allen you're intrigued with here, or is that kind of Eckler, Keenan Allen? That's about it.
I'm falling on the brand here, but tight end is the one that excites me the most. I love Gerald Everett. We've seen 6 touchdowns go to the Chargers tight end position throughout the year between Parham and Everett. And he seems to be a reliable piece. We've got, Josh Palmer just hit IR. Yeah. We got Mike Williams on IR. So it's very limited about the talent that's out there, despite a first round rookie out there. He's just not performing. Everett has been a safety valve for him, and he's the big guy down there at the end zone. He stands, I think, at 6'5", Parham's at 6'7". So these are big targets out there, and I really like him to do decent. 48.5 over-under, highest of the week. Let's go for fireworks, people. Some electricity from those Chargers.
Yeah. They're running out of weapons, too. They got to get the ball to somebody. So I'm still waiting for Quentin Johnson to kind of kick this off. It's not quite happening. I was seeing Guyton get targeted out there. Like we need Johnson to take some targets until he does. I do think Everett has a nice opportunity. So I think he's a low end tight end one. I'd still stash Quentin Johnson, but haven't quite seen it yet from him. So we're still waiting. This offense it's one of the more frustrating offenses to watch, I think, just with the talent they have. I mean, I know they're missing Mike Williams, but to see Herbert just kind of checking it down and it still feels like last year's Chargers. I don't know. I'm just, it's frustrating. I hope they blow up one of these weeks, but I'm starting to question if they will.
Yeah. They should have been easily in there as a top 6 offense across the board in every position. And they just, you know, let down like usual.
Yeah. And I think it's finally starting to catch up with Justin Herbert. He's banged up and losing weapons, and it definitely helps. Eckler looks like himself again, so maybe between Eckler and Keenan Allen they'll have enough, but I do think it's starting to wear down on Justin Herbert a little bit here. All right, I guess we have to talk about this game, Brian. New York Giants at Dallas Cowboys, 38.5 over under, which the Cowboys are favored by 16, so if you do the math there, not a lot of points assigned to the Giants. It's just Barkley, right?
Yeah, it's barely Barkley at that. They're going to load the box. He's going to not stand a chance, but it is purely a volume play with Barkley. I don't like anything else out there. Wandale, I was getting excited since Waller was gone, and same with Bellinger, but yeah, Barkley or bust.
It's a borderline miracle that he's produced 10-plus PPR or yeah, half PPR points in the last 5 weeks. Like, I don't know how he's doing this. Obviously the volume helps, but yeah, Saquon's doing way better than he has any right to be doing from a fantasy perspective. So keep playing him. Cowboys side of the ball. I mean, it's the same names as always, right? I mean, Ferguson actually looked pretty good last week. CD Lamb. Pollard, we're just going to keep hoping that he breaks out until it happens, I guess.
I think you're still playing these guys with all the confidence in the world, but I'm actually really nervous playing Dak and Lamb as QB and wide receiver one this week. I think that this game is going to be so bad. Dallas's defense is so good. I bet they end up scoring a touchdown on defense. And I just think that the need for the Dallas offense to do anything is going to be hardly anything. So I think, you know, the running game is going to have some volume to work with, but I'm really worried that Dak just isn't going to be asked to do enough, which, you know, kind of fall on Lamb too. He'll go out there as a decoy and this game just kind of trots along till it's over.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, this has kind of been the story for the Cowboys season. I mean, really before last week, like most of these games, they're either blowing someone out or they're getting blown out or something. Like we haven't got a lot of these weeks where they are just pedal to the metal the whole game. So yeah, you got to keep starting these guys. And I still have hope for Pollard, but it's been kind of ugly. And yeah, I mean, you know, the touchdown upside is there. I don't know if Pollard scored one since week one, so maybe this is the week it happens. So fingers crossed. We need something out of Pollard here. It's been way too long. So, all right, enough of that one. That's an ugly game. Let's move on to the Washington Commanders playing against the Seattle Seahawks in Seattle, 45.5 over under, 6.5-point spread in favor of the Seahawks. We talked a little bit about Sam Howell earlier. He's kind of QB2 range, borderline QB1, actually. What are your thoughts on this Commanders offense as a whole? Anyone you're kind of higher or lower on than consensus might be?
I'm falling back in love with Dotson. I know I shouldn't. Yeah. I know we're about to get like slapped on the wrist for it, but I think he needs to be owned in most of these leagues. I think he needs to be started out there as a flexing wide receiver. But not a huge fan of Brian Robinson. I know he's done good. What was it? Last week he did pretty decent, but like just the running backs in this Washington Commanders offense. As you said, Howell's throwing it nearly, you know, more than anybody else in the league right up there at top. Would you say like 42 times a game? It's unreal. And of course, it's not going to Gibson. So, just not a big fan of those running backs right now.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way. So, I'm waiting for it to fall apart for Howell. I know it's been ugly at times, but he's throwing the ball so much, taking so many sacks. We'll see how much longer. Seattle does have a decent pass rush, so I know I've picked up their defense in a few leagues to stream against the Commanders, just looking for those sacks. So we'll see if it keeps up. But, they're kind of voluming their way there right now. So otherwise, it was worth pointing out on Seattle's side of things, Kenneth Walker did not practice on Wednesday. We've kind of seen this from him, and he's ended up playing, so I'm not sure if it's a real situation or not, but Charbonnet is always lurking there as kind of the handcuff. We'll see how this backfield shakes out, but I mean, I don't know. I think it's probably as simple as start Walker unless he doesn't play, and then start Charbonnet in that case. Is that about where we're at in the Seahawks backfield?
Yeah, Charbonnet definitely needs to be owned. He needs to be, you know, on rosters, but it's weird. He's out snapping him and just not out touching him. So I think it's going to take an injury for Charbonnet to take over this backfield. So I think we're just hoping that he gets to be pushed in enough where we're able to play both of them confidently as, you know, RB2, RB3s.
Yeah. And then Jackson Smith and Jigba did not practice on Wednesday. Not really any indication that it's super serious, but who knows? You never know with these Wednesday reports. But I think one of the main topics here is DK Metcalf. He's kind of been on a slump lately. I tend to think that it's going to normalize. He's a big play threat. He's going to connect on one of these. I mean, he had 14 targets against Cleveland a couple weeks ago, so just didn't work out. But I have hopes that DK Metcalf will turn around. Do you have any more concern than I do, or you just keep rolling him out there and hope you hit the big play?
I think that's what we're looking at here. It's obviously, it's not like he's old and he's not good anymore. Yeah. I think Geno's just regressing. He's the journeyman quarterback that we've always known. He just had a really good year last year. But DK's a great touchdown threat. I think as soon as you bench him, he's going to score that touchdown that you're going to be upset that you don't see.
Yeah, I do have some hope for Geno. He still shows flashes. He's risky with the ball sometimes. He throws it downfield, throws some picks. The offensive line has not done him a ton of favors. And they also have had some tough matchups. So it feels like we've been giving him the benefit of the doubt for a few weeks now, but I kind of am willing to keep rolling him out there. And I think there are better days ahead for this offense. So not too concerned here, but too many of these weeks in a row, and we have to have some serious discussions with the Seattle offense. So hopefully they turn it around this week against Washington. I have good feelings about it. So, okay. Another ugly matchup here. New York Jets at the Las Vegas Raiders. Over under of 36. Jets favored by 1.5. I like Breece Hall. I like Garrett Wilson. Nothing else on the Jets side of things. I think we can move through them quickly unless you have anything you want to comment on.
Well, I'm just looking at here. Did I mess up? I wrote that this is the Sunday night game. Ew. Ew.
If only they had been given the option to change that at some point a few weeks ago.
The NFL should probably put a rule in where they can do something like that at some point. Dummies. Yeah, Breece, we're starting. Wilson, you're starting because the talent's just too darn good. Jacobs, you're starting. Adam, yeah, it's real. Yeah, it's just mirrored running back wide receivers on either side, huh?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Tyler Conklin has a floor if you're in a deep league. Like, you know, I got plenty of dynasty leagues where, you know, tight end is weak. You can roll him out there. He'll get you 6 points. Like, that's kind of where we're at with Conklin. So,
you know, Zach Wilson's his quarterback, right?
Yeah. Hey, six for 66 last week. That's a solid. I guess that was still tight end 16, wasn't it? Yeah, not super great.
Hey, we had 14 touchdowns go to tight ends last week. That is a great tight end finish, 6 for 66, outside of that one crazy week.
Yeah. All right. Well, I am getting worried on the Raiders side. Devontae Adams. Like, I know the vibes are better for the Raiders now. Now that they fired Josh McDaniels and Jimmy G's not starting, I think Devontae was pretty much done with Jimmy G, but this is still a miserable situation with Aiden O'Connell at quarterback. Like, I'm worried about Devontae Adams where I have him. I don't know what you can do about it, but yeah, if you're loaded at wide receiver, I think he's probably more of a wide receiver three at this point. It's just, we'll see. He might be able to volume his way there, but this is just a conservative offense and they don't have a good quarterback.
Yeah, for sure. He's always got that upside to be wide receiver one, but I don't think he's quite that squeaky wheel right now. Just, you know, everything's a little happier there in Vegas.
Yeah, he's going to need O'Connell to show some flashes, and hopefully they give him a chance. I mean, they need to see what they have in him, I suppose. I mean, they're probably going to draft somebody, but yeah, hopefully he gets some chances, but I'm not expecting a breakout here for Devontae Adams. So maybe is Jimmy G healthy? Is he just benched? I don't even really know what's going on. He didn't look healthy when he was playing, so I'm not exactly sure what his status is.
Have we truly ever seen Jimmy G healthy? I don't think that's accurate. You know, like, just no, never. No, I'm pretty sure he is healthy, but I think he's just sitting benched right now.
Oof. All right, enough of that one. Denver Broncos at Buffalo Bills, over under of 47, spread of 7.5 for the Bills. It looks like a kind of get right game here for them. Anyone stand out either side of the ball that you want to talk about, Denver and Buffalo?
Javonte Williams, he's been really picking it up these last few weeks, so I think people should get more and more excited about him. You're definitely starting him, but just, I'm excited to see what he can do this back half of the season. Sutton and Judy, I am not starting with confidence. They are wide receiver threes for me. Obviously they've got upside. Sutton's been catching a lot of touchdowns, but do you see them as like wide receiver twos or?
Man, I mean, Judy, it's hard. I'm kind of out on Judy at this point. It's like, how long can we really wait? I mean, you're right. Sutton's living off of touchdowns. You have to keep rolling with it. I mean, I know he's really dependent on touchdowns, but he's got, what, 6 of them this year? Like, I would keep rolling Sutton out there, but I don't know what we're waiting for with Judy, honestly. Like, I don't think this offense looks that great. They're going to give the ball to the running backs. I would be fine benching Judy. Luckily, I don't know that I have either of these receivers in any single league, so I have not had to debate this one a ton. But, I think the ship has maybe sailed with Judy here. All right. Well, that wraps us up. That was shockingly the Monday night game, Denver Broncos versus the Buffalo Bills. So we got a lot of fun coming up here the stretch this week. New York Jets and Raiders and Denver Broncos and Buffalo Bills to wrap things up. So maybe a bit of a downer end of the week here, but hopefully you got all your points out of the way earlier in the week before these last two matchups. So, Brian, before we get out of here, anything we didn't talk about this week? Any final thoughts, things you're watching for? I don't know, last chance to say go Colts, whatever you want to do.
No, I guess I'm just excited. We've got some lower over-unders on this week, so I guess I'm just going, let's go over. Let's score some touchdowns, get some points out there.
Yeah, we desperately need them. So, all right, everyone, thanks for listening. As always, check out the Sit Start article on the website. We will be back with the What We Saw Waiver Wire podcast on Monday night. Until then, good luck this week.
At Vanguard, you're more than just an investor. You're an owner. That means your priorities are Vanguard's too. So whether you're planning for retirement or trying to save up for your next big adventure, Vanguard will work alongside you to set personalized investment goals. That's the value of ownership. All investing is subject to risk. Vanguard is owned by its funds, which are owned by Vanguard's fund shareholder clients. Vanguard Marketing Corporation Distributor.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.